The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
Despite some attempts, and indeed plenty of opposition, the Taoiseach has never had an official residence. But research carried out by our reporter Simon Tierney reveals that Ireland is very much an outlier in this respect in comparison with our neighbours in the European Union. So is it time for this to change? Do we need an aura especially for the Taoiseach? Well, Simon is with me in studio. Good morning, Simon.
Morning, Pat.
Now, the first question is about an official residence for the Taoiseach. It's not a new question. It has been teased before, going back to Jack Lynch even.
Yes, when Jack Lynch was leader of the opposition in the early 70s, he was the first to propose the idea, Pat. Ireland joined the EEC, as it was called, in 73. And I suppose having an official place for the Taoiseach to live and a guest house for visiting dignitaries became a more pressing concern, and the idea grew legs. It even had cross-party support, and there was a major architectural competition established in 1979 for a residence to be designed on the site of what we would now have the Phoenix Park Visitor Centre. Now, I spoke with Shane O'Toole, who is the Adjunct Associate Professor of Architecture at UCD, to get a sense, I suppose, of how big a deal the proposed Taoiseach's residence was at that time.
Well, the competition certainly was a big deal. There were actually quite a few competitions during that decade, but it was the standout one because really it was representative of Ireland. You know, it would be the most important commission that most architects could imagine getting. And it attracted a lot of international attention. Finally, it yielded 97 entries, but they came from abroad as well as from Ireland. Yeah, it was hugely, it could have been hugely influential. It was very disappointing when it didn't go ahead in the end. It's always remembered as the Taoiseach's House competition, but in fact, the generator was another reason altogether. The competition took place in 1979, but it really spun out of a kind of a disaster, a diplomatic disaster of sorts, in 1975, 2 years after we had joined the EEC. When for a meeting of EEC foreign ministers in Ireland, who all arrived, the state had to turn to Lord Ivy, who owned Farmley House, which is now the state guest house, in the Phoenix Park, to rent it from the Earl of Ivy to put up the EEC's foreign ministers. So there was a decision politically taken that we couldn't be the poor man with the begging bowl in Europe. And we had to actually, you know, do what most normal civilized countries do and have a state guest house. Now, the Taoiseach's house was added to that. But it's a misnomer in my view. I think the real driver was the absence of a state guest house in 1975 for the meeting of the foreign ministers of the EEC. And we suddenly said, oops, we need to fix this fast.
That was architect Shane O'Toole. And now, what do we know about the winning entry? Because the competition did go ahead.
It did. It was quite elaborate, the winning entry from a Welsh and Israeli partnership based in the UK. It had a budget, Pat, of £4 million, Irish punts, an incredible amount of money in the 1970s. Now, I've studied the plans, and it consisted of a five-bedroom house, additional staff quarters, a guest accommodation for those ministers, as Shane mentioned there, dining room for 30 guests, a tennis court, a swimming pool. So it's little wonder, I suppose, that the cost was so high. Now, Shane O'Toole described the winning design to me as, quote unquote, mechanistic, glassy, concrete, modern, essentially, reminiscent of the arts block in Trinity College, if any of your listeners are familiar with that building.
But more important, it never got built.
It never got built. Very soon after the winner was announced, a political earthquake took place in Ireland. Lynch resigned, of course, and Charlie Haughey became Taoiseach. Now, he immediately scrapped the entire project. This is what Shane O'Toole had to say about that.
Now, the official reason that was given that the project didn't go ahead or was indeed cancelled, it had been organised by the Office of Public Works on behalf of the state, was cost. But that's hard to believe, even though the 70s was a difficult decade, you know, with the oil crisis and inflation running and all sorts of things like that. But all of this would have been taken into account in the planning of the competition by the OPW, and indeed the Department of Finance would have had to sign off on it. And it was seen as a diplomatic necessity. So I don't believe cost was the real reason. But I think there are probably three reasons that aren't official. And here I'm speculating. But one is that Charlie Haughey already had a finer, a big house of his own in Abbeville. So he certainly didn't feel the need for a house in the Phoenix Park. He would have missed Abbeville, I think, and he would have seen it maybe as a step down for him. There was also, I suspect, Haughey would have been alive to the grassroots of Fianna Fáil at that stage, because there was a tumult in Fianna Fáil politics. And there might have been a sense in the air of, look, lads, let's not be seen to be getting ahead of ourselves here, you know? I mean, why are we starting to suddenly ape the English and that sort of thing? And that kind of remained in the air, so that when Parmley House eventually did open in 2001 as the state guest house, I mean, Bertie Ahern took pleasure in telling Tony Blair that Parmley House, which is the state guest house in the Phoenix Park, would be no checkers. He said there'll be no dogs or machine guns at the door because Farmley is an Irish house. But the final reason, I suspect, and the one that could never be written down, is I think there is something in the fact that the winning architects, although they were Welsh, Eldred Evans was Welsh and David Shonoff was Israeli, that they were from Britain. And at that stage, I don't think Charlie Haughey would ever have imagined that he would live under an English house in the Phoenix Park.
Wow, that's all understandable reasons. I think the idea that it would be a step down for Charlie Haughey to move into a 40 million quid house at the time, which would be the equivalent of maybe 10 times that today. So there you are. Missed opportunity as well when those houses in Merrion Street, where Wellington allegedly was born, some say he was born in Trim, some say he was born in Merrion Street, they became the Merrion Hotel. What a fine residence that would have been.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. That came up during my research, actually, that could have been a place to put a Taoiseach's residence. Obvious, perhaps, in retrospect.
Mm. Now, that was Shane O'Toole giving us his imagined Charlie Haughey reasons for cancelling the project. But 43 years later, we are one of the few countries in the EU without an official prime ministerial residence. So what has your research revealed on that count?
Yeah, so the research that I've carried out, Pat, I've discovered that 21 out of the 27 EU countries have a designated official residence for their prime minister. So that's 77%. Now, the countries that don't are Ireland, and of course, Latvia, Slovenia, Bulgaria, Croatia, and Hungary. So, us and a small bunch of former Soviet republics in Eastern Europe. So, apart from Ireland, all those other countries have among the lowest GDPs in the EU. Ireland is the only country on the list that has one of the highest GDPs, really.
But the idea of creating an auras for the Taoiseach, I think, once again, would be politically sensitive.
Oh, very politically sensitive. But I do feel persuaded that it's time for us to have a debate about this issue. We do seem to recoil in Ireland, and politicians certainly recoil at the prospect of perks for the Taoiseach. But for me, this is the wrong way to look at it, because it's about having an address that we can, I suppose, be collectively proud of, and that's fitting for receiving foreign dignitaries, as Shane O'Toole had said before.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It is a temporary home, because we've all seen those scenes as David Cameron and his wife and children walked away down Downing Street and making way for his successor. And again, Theresa May had that experience, and recently Boris Johnson.
It's kind of the walk of shame,
isn't it?
As you exit 10
Downing
Street.
So it reminds you that this is only a temporary
custodian rather than an owner.
Now, some people might say, look, we have Áras an Uachtaráin. We have an official residence for the president. So therefore, you know, we don't really need another official residence.
Sure. Now, for me, that argument doesn't really hold up. Look at France, for example, Pat. President Macron's residence, of course, is the very elaborate Élysée Palace. But the Prime Minister, Elizabeth Borne, also has an official residence, the Hotel Matignon. Now, I asked Lara Marlow, Paris correspondent with the Irish Times, about this. And I was very struck to discover that nearly half of the French cabinet ministers also have official residences.
The French Prime Minister's residence is in the Rue de Varenne, in the very heart of Paris. It is one of the most beautiful buildings I have ever seen anywhere. But it's a much more delicate building than the Élysée. It's a late Baroque or Rococo style. You walk into a very imposing cobblestone courtyard. There's a big balcony with golden lions on it on the first floor. The gardens are actually the biggest private gardens in Paris. They're over 7 acres. They're bigger than the gardens of the Élysée. But the number of ministers varies. It's usually about 30. And I'd say a good half of them have official residences. Basically, what happened is that these old palaces or chateaux from the Ancien Régime, from before the French Revolution, passed on to successive French governments. And yes, cabinet ministers, for example, the Minister of Education has a lovely mansion with a garden, the Minister of Transport, the Minister of Labor, the Minister of Defense has a beautiful sort of mansion, chateau, one's never sure what to call them.
I'm just looking at the Hotel Matignon, and it's fabulous. Absolutely,
it's
fabulous.
Beautiful.
Huge gardens in the centre of Paris. Anyway, that was Lara Marlowe, Paris correspondent with the Irish Times. Now, tell me about Steward's Lodge in the Phoenix Park, because it's not exactly an official residence, but it is used by Taoiseach. I don't know how many of them used it, but it is used.
Yeah, I suppose for the last 15 years or so. It's an interesting public building, Pat, because it encapsulates, in my view, a sort of an Irish solution to an Irish problem. It's a two-story, four-bedroom Georgian home. It's attractive but modest. It's originally part of the Farmley estate, which is next to it. Now, the OPW renovated it in 2006 at a cost of €600,000. This is where it gets interesting, Pat, because it's not an official residence for the Taoiseach, but it is kept exclusively for his or her use. However, if the Taoiseach stays the night there, they are obliged to pay a rent of €50 per night. Now, this struck me as...
Not exactly price gouging.
Not price gouging for the centre of Dublin, but it's why I describe it as a peculiarly Irish predicament. We have a residence ready to go for the Taoiseach, but we charge him to use it. Now, successive governments have been too fearful to be bold and make it an official residence, bring it out from the shadows, and instead we've ended up with a kind of a farcical halfway house. No other country in Europe does it this way. So I asked Lara Marlowe for her view on this issue.
I'm not Irish, so I don't really have a right to say, and I pay my income tax in France. But I say, why not? I mean, after all, President Higgins has Oras an Uachtaráin. The Taoiseach receives foreign guests. It's to a very large extent a question of prestige. I think it's also convenient because if he gets a phone call in the middle of the night, he's probably better equipped in an official residence to deal with it. I don't think that Ireland should go the route of the French and do anything so excessive.
Yeah, and don't forget the Lord Mayor of Dublin has the Mansion House.
That's
which
very true.
They do live in. I mean, they also maintain their own homes because they're only in the job for a year. Mm. But still, for 1 year, they live in splendour.
Probably
in
the
Dawson
only
Street.
Person who lives on Dawson Street, I would imagine, anymore.
Lara Marlowe talking about what goes on in France. Now, in terms of Steward's Lodge, it's dedicated to the Taoiseach to use. They're the only people who are allowed to rent it at 50 a night, but no one else, even if they had 500 in their pocket, could actually rent it. And I do recall, I think Leo Varadkar used it during lockdown. Did other Taoiseach use it at all?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Leo Varadkar, that's why he wasn't breaking the 5K rule, if you remember all the furore over that, because he was living in the Phoenix Park at the time in Steward's Lodge. Now, I lodged an FOI request with the OPW, and the figures I got back past, they don't, in my mind, justify the current arrangement for a building that can only be used by the Taoiseach. This year, for example, the Taoiseach has stayed there in Steward's Lodge on zero occasions. In 2021, the Taoiseach stayed there on zero occasions. In 2020, he stayed there on 69 occasions because, as we said, it was during the lockdowns. In 2019, he stayed there on two occasions. In 2018, he stayed there on 12 occasions, and so on and so forth. You get the picture. So this begs the question that I'm trying to ask. Why are we maintaining a property at taxpayer expense for no particular reason? This is a public building that's neither this nor that, in my view. It isn't fulfilling its function, and it's time for the government to take the bull by the horns and take the next step. Either get rid of it or bring it out from the shadows and make it the official residence of the Taoiseach.
I just wonder, would it have the capability to house visiting heads of state or prime ministers?
Well,
or
this
ministers?
Is the point, is that it's adjacent to Farmlea, and Farmlea is the state guesthouse. So it's set up in a way that would accommodate that.
Very good. Very interesting stuff. Simon Tierney, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.